All right, so get this, listeners. For this deep dive, you sent in, a whole bunch of stuff about
The
ideas.
idea, huh?
Not just any ideas, but how they might be, like, actually shaping reality.
That's a big one. Where do we even begin with that?
Right, and get this, tucked in there, we've also got some pretty deep stuff on this thing called,
Wetiko.
I bet. Yeah, Wetiko, the source, it describes it as, like, a mind virus, like something straight out of sci-fi, right?
Interesting. And what's fascinating is how these two concepts, ideas and Wetiko, could actually be like two sides of the same coin.
Okay, yeah, I see what you mean.
They both offer these insights into how we interact with the world around us.
Exactly. So on one hand, we've got these articles from John Rechter, who has this whole philosophy about ideas being like conditioned love.
Conditioned love.
Yeah, shaping the universe. And then boom, excerpts comparing Rechter's ideas to this Wetiko, a concept from Native American traditions.
Yeah, and this Wetiko, it's not some mystical boogeyman, right?
Right.
It's more about recognizing those patterns of self-destructive behavior, things like greed and a lack of empathy.
Okay, so our mission for this deep dive, we're gonna, I guess break down what each of these thinkers is saying about how ideas and Wetiko work.
Sounds like a plan.
Then, and here's where it gets interesting for you listening, we'll explore how it applies to your life, your choices.
The real nitty-gritty.
Yeah, and maybe even how you see the world right now. Where do we even, I mean, where do we even begin?
Well, let's start with John Rechter's perspective on ideas. It really sets the stage for understanding how something as abstract as an idea can have, a real impact on our lives and the world around us.
Okay, let's unpack that. Richter's big idea is that ideas, well, they aren't just things we have.
Right.
They're more like these fundamental forces shaping reality itself. He calls them conditioned love, like little slices of the universe's potential, becoming specific
The
things.
Rector's saying we're all walking around with blueprints for the universe in our heads.
Blueprint.
Yeah, and like Plato's forms, these ideas, they need us to make them real. But Rector takes it a step further.
Okay, further how?
He's saying these blueprints are powered by love, this creative energy that wants to
Hold
manifest.
on, this is where it gets really interesting. Rector says ideas have agendas. They want to be expressed.
Okay.
So does that mean like my idea for a screenplay is an actual force out there, just waiting to be written?
I mean, it's not that your screenplay is literally sitting in some cosmic filing cabinet or something.
Right.
It's more about the potential energy within an idea, right?
Okay, the potential.
It can feel like a force because a strong idea can almost compel you to create,
I've definitely felt that.
whether it's that screenplay, starting a business, or even, falling in love. These potent ideas, they can drive us in ways we don't always fully understand.
Rarier uses this awesome analogy. He says ideas are like paints on an artist's palette.
Paints on a palette.
Yeah, and each color wants to dominate the canvas,
Wants to dominate.
So if ideas are paints, does that mean like a bad idea is like a toxic color or something?
That's a great question. I mean,
What happens if we try to just ignore it?
ignoring a toxic idea, well, it won't make it go away, that's for sure. It
Really?
might even fester and become more potent. Rector talks about this difference between alignment and resistance.
Alignment and resistance.
Resisting an idea, trying to shove it down, it often creates suffering. It takes a lot of energy to keep those toxic colors locked away.
So it's not enough to have like good ideas. We have to wrestle with them.
Wrestle.
Yeah, learn to use them like tools, you know?
Tools, yeah.
Which makes me think about, this whole Wetiko thing.
That's a great transition because we're moving from the realm of creative potential to, a darker side of that
Of
potential.
a darker side.
Yeah, Wetiko, as you mentioned, comes from Native American traditions, specifically the Cree and Ojibwe cultures. And traditionally, it's depicted as this, get this, cannibalistic spirit.
Wait, cannibalistic. Okay, things just got a little creepy. What does that symbolize?
It symbolizes the way Wetiko consumes others for its own gain. It represents those extreme forms of selfishness and greed, where a person or even a whole society is so fixated on their own needs that they exploit and destroy others without a second thought.
So if Raper says we can like shape reality with ideas, is he saying we're also responsible for creating Wetiko? You know? Is it like an idea gone bad?
That's a profound question. Paul Levy, who, he's done a lot of work with the Wetiko concept, he connects it to psychology.
Okay.
He calls it an archetype of the shadow, that hidden part of ourselves we tend to repress.
Okay, the
So
shadow.
Wetiko is like our shadow's evil twin. It's all that nasty stuff we repress. But instead of dealing with it, Wetiko makes us project it outwards onto other people.
Ah.
Or even the world itself.
So Wetiko is, it's basically the ultimate bad roommate. It eats all your food, blames you for the mess, and expects you to pay rent. How do we evict this thing?
Well, that's where things get really, really interesting and a bit disturbing. Wetiko, you see, it's different from like regular selfishness because it's contagious,
It's contagious, like a cold.
In a way, yeah, it spreads through fear and ignorance and trauma. It makes people project their own shadow outwards. They start seeing evil in others instead of in themselves.
So instead of admitting like we might be greedy or selfish, we just point the finger at other people.
Exactly, yeah. And this can manifest in all sorts of ways, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
From, personal conflicts to prejudice, wars, even systems like exploitative capitalism.
So Wetiko, it can operate on like a personal level, but it can also infect entire cultures and systems.
Right, exactly.
That's how it creates these cycles of violence and oppression and environmental destruction.
Yeah, it's a pretty bleak picture when you think about it.
So Levy says that the cure for Wetiko is awareness. But hold on, awareness is the cure. That sounds a bit, too easy.
Too easy.
What if someone is choosing to be greedy and destructive? Can they just, blame it on Wetiko?
It's not about blame, right?
Okay.
It's about recognizing the patterns. Awareness is what's the first step in breaking free from Wetiko's, influence.
Right, the first step.
Think of it like this. You can't fix a leaky faucet if you don't even know it's gripping.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've got these two powerful concepts. Rector's ideas shaping reality.
Right.
And this Wetiko thing that seems to like warp our perceptions and actions. How do these ideas help us in our like daily lives?
Well, both thinkers are essentially giving us tools, tools to manage our minds.
Tools, huh?
Yeah. Rector's saying, be mindful of your thoughts. Don't let them control you and learn to, use them creatively. And Levy's saying, pay attention to your shadow side. Don't project it outwards, and choose compassion over fear.
So it's like we're all these mini creators shaping reality with our ideas, but we also have this potential for Wetiko kind of lurking in the shadow.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the way we deal with it is by shining a light on it, not letting it control us.
That's a great way to put it. It's about taking responsibility for our, for our inner landscape.
Okay, our inner landscape.
And both thinkers actually talk about love as the antidote. Rector calls ideas conditioned love, suggesting they're, expressions of a fundamental creative force in the universe.
Oh, okay.
And Levy says Wetiko is overcome by love and awareness.
Okay, but what does that look like in practice? How can we cultivate more of that love and awareness stuff? It's easy to, to talk about, but how do we actually do it?
Well, it starts with simple things.
Simple things. Okay.
Cultivating mindfulness can help us observe our thoughts and emotions without getting swept away by them.
Mindfulness. Okay, I've heard that word thrown around a lot.
Mindfulness, yeah.
But how does that help us deal with Wetiko or those toxic ideas Rector talked about?
I think about mindfulness, like building a muscle.
Building a muscle.
Yeah. The more you practice paying attention to your inner world.
Inner world.
The more you'll be able to recognize when Wetiko is trying to like hijack your thoughts.
Hijack your thoughts.
Or when an idea is leading you down a destructive path.
Okay.
You start to create space between you and those impulses, which gives you more choice in how you respond.
So it's like hitting the pause button before we react.
Exactly. Yeah. And in that pause, we can choose a more skillful response.
A more skillful response. Okay.
Journaling can be a powerful tool too.
Journal.
It helps us have a dialogue with our ideas.
Oh, got
to
her.
Explore those darker impulses and bring them into the light of consciousness.
So we're not just letting those toxic ideas run wild. We're engaging with them, like trying to understand them.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about becoming the artist of your own mind. And speaking of art, another potent antidote to Wetiko is gratitude.
Gratitude. Okay, that seems like a big leap from, cannibalistic spirits and shadow archetypes. How does being grateful help with all this?
It's about shifting your perspective. you know?
Shifting your perspective.
Gratitude, it helps you focus on what's good in your life.
Okay.
Which weakens Wetiko's grip. Remember, Wetiko thrives on fear and scarcity. Gratitude is like it's like shining a light on abundance and connection.
So it's like choosing to focus on the good stuff instead of getting, you know, bogged down in negativity.
Exactly. It's not about ignoring problems or pretending everything's, you know, perfect.
Okay.
It's about choosing where you focus your attention. Even small acts of gratitude can shift your energy and make you less susceptible to Wetiko's influence.
Okay, that makes sense. But it still feels like a pretty big challenge to face this Wetiko thing, you know, especially when we see it playing out on such a large scale in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can feel pretty disheartening.
I understand that feeling. It's easy to get overwhelmed by, you know, by the state of the world.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember that we're not powerless.
Okay.
Every choice we take, every action we take, it either contributes to the problem or the solution.
So it's like we're all part of a giant tapestry, and even the smallest thread can, you know, can impact the overall pattern. And while we can't control the entire tapestry, we can choose the color and texture of our own thread.
That's a beautiful analogy. It highlights the interconnectedness of everything.
The interconnectedness.
We're not isolated individuals. We're all part of this web of relationships.
Right.
And our actions have ripple effects. So even small acts of awareness, compassion, and kindness can make a difference.
This is all starting to make a lot of sense. But I'm still wondering about something. We've talked a lot about how to deal with the negative with Wetiko and those toxic ideas.
Right.
But what about the positive? How do we cultivate more of that creative, loving energy that Rector talks about?
Good question.
How do we become those artists who can paint a more beautiful world?
That's a fantastic question, and it brings us to the heart of the matter. Cultivating that creative loving energy isn't about forcing it or pretending everything is, you know, rosy.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that potential is already within us and then creating the conditions for it to, you know, for it to flourish.
Okay, so what are those conditions? How do we nurture that seed of creativity and love?
Well, I think it starts with self-acceptance.
Self-acceptance.
We need to acknowledge and embrace all parts of ourselves, the light and the shadow, the good and the bad.
Okay, the good and the bad.
Because it's in that wholeness that our true power lies.
So it's not about like trying to be perfect or pretending those, you know, those shadowy parts of ourselves don't exist.
No, not at all.
It's more about recognizing them, you know, accepting them and integrating them into like a whole picture of who we are.
Exactly. And it's in that radical self-acceptance that we can start to, you know, access that wellspring of creative energy.
That wellspring.
When we stop fighting ourselves, we free up so much energy to create and connect and contribute to the world around us.
That's a powerful idea. It's like all that energy we waste on, you know, self-criticism and judgment could be channeled into something positive.
Precisely. And that brings us to the importance of forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
We need to forgive ourselves for our past mistakes, for the ways we've hurt others, and for not living up to our own expectations.
Forgiveness, huh? That's easier said than done, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
But I can see how like holding onto resentment and guilt could be like dragging around a ball and chain, you know? It keeps us stuck in the past.
Exactly. Forgiveness is about releasing that weight and choosing to move forward.
Okay.
And it's not about, you know, condoning bad behavior or letting people off the hook or anything like that.
Right.
It's about freeing ourselves from that burden.
Okay. So self-acceptance, forgiveness, what else helps us cultivate that creative energy? What are the key ingredients for becoming the artists of our own lives?
Well, I think playfulness is essential.
Playfulness.
We need to reclaim that childlike sense of wonder and delight, you know, that ability to see the world with fresh eyes.
Playfulness. You know, it feels like we're so serious all the time,
yeah.
so focused on, you know, achieving and producing and consuming.
Right.
We've forgotten how to just like be present and have fun.
And that's where Wedigo thrives. It wants to keep us trapped in those cycles of fear and scarcity.
Okay.
But when we allow ourselves to play, to be, you know, to be silly, to get lost in the flow of creativity, we tap into a source of energy that's both powerful and restorative.
So it's not just about being like responsible creators.
Right.
It's about being joyful creators.
Exactly. And that joy is contagious.
Contagious.
It can inspire others and create positive ripple effects.
Okay, so we've got self-acceptance, forgiveness, playfulness. What's the secret ingredient? What ties all of this together?
I think the secret ingredient is connection.
Connection.
We need to nurture meaningful connections with others, with nature, and with something greater than ourselves.
Okay.
That's what we find our sense of purpose and belonging.
Connection, huh? Makes sense. We're social creatures, hardwired for connection.
Right.
And when we feel isolated or disconnected, it's easy to fall prey to Wedigo's negativity.
Think of it this way. Wedigo it thrives in isolation, in the shadows.
Okay.
But love and connection are like sunlight. They nourish those creative seeds within us and help them grow.
So we're not just battling Wedigo for ourselves. We're creating a world where it's harder for it to thrive.
Exactly. And that's a powerful act of creation in itself.
This has been an incredible deep dive.
It really has.
We've explored some pretty complex ideas, but I feel like we've emerged with a sense of hope and possibility.
I agree.
We've learned about the power of ideas, how they can create and destroy, and
that's true.
And we've really gotten into this whole Wedigo thing, how it operates and how we can, you know, how we can fight back against it.
And for you listening, I hope you've walked away with some valuable insights and tools.
I hope so too.
Remember, you're not alone in this. We're all interconnected.
Right, interconnected.
And we all have the power to choose love over fear, compassion over greed, and connection over isolation.
This deep dive has definitely given me a lot to think about. It's like we've been given a map for navigating the inner landscape of our minds. And while the journey might be, you know, challenging at times,
sure,
it also feels incredibly rewarding. It's a journey of self-discovery and growth and transformation.
And that's a journey. That's a journey worth taking.
It's interesting that both Rector and Levy emphasize how seeing something, whether it's, you know, an idea or this Wedigo thing, changes its power.
Yeah, it's like in those old vampire stories where shining a light on the monster makes it, you know, makes it vanish.
That's such a great point. It speaks to the transformative power of awareness.
Absolutely.
When we bring something into the light of consciousness, it loses its power to control us.
Loses its power.
So what are the monsters in your mind, Linerner? What are those, you know, those shadows, those limiting beliefs, those patterns of fear and greed that might be holding you back?
Maybe you find yourself constantly comparing yourself to others or blaming others for your problems.
Right.
Those could be signs of Wedigo's influence.
Or maybe you've got this amazing idea for a project, a creative endeavor, or a positive change you want to make in the world.
It happens.
But fear is holding you back.
Fear, yeah.
What if you could tap into that creative force, that conditioned love, and let it flow through you?
Imagine what you could accomplish if you could overcome those limiting beliefs and fears.
Right, overcome those fears.
That's the power of aligning with those positive, life-affirming ideas.
This deep dive has been, well, quite the journey.
A real journey.
We've explored the depths of the human psyche, faced those shadows within us, and discovered the incredible potential that lives inside each of us. And listener, I hope this has given you some tools to apply in your own life. Remember, you have the power to choose. You can feed the Wedigo mind virus, or you can cultivate love, creativity, and connection.
We've given you a lot to chew on today.
We have.
So as we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thought. It's a quote from Rumi. The wound is the place where the light enters you.
Those words have always been, well, powerful for me.
Powerful words.
They remind us that our challenges, our struggles, those dark places, they're not something to be to be ashamed of. You know, there are opportunities for growth and transformation.
So embrace your wounds, listener.
Embrace your wounds.
Shine the light of awareness on them. Let them become portals for the light to enter you. It's in those broken places that we find our greatest strength, our deepest compassion, and our most profound connection to ourselves and to the world around us.
That's a beautiful note to end on. Thank you. Thank you for guiding us through this thought-provoking material.
It's been my pleasure.
And listener, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep shining your light.